my friend. I have a favor to ask. I'm running as a hero in the 2023 St. Jude Memphis Marathon weekend. St. Jude heroes are runners who fundraise while they train for their race, and I am proud to be a part of this nationwide alliance against childhood cancer. I want to help make sure that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so they can focus solely on helping their child live. Your donation, no matter the size, will help. Will you help me reach my fundraising goal? Please visit my fundraising page to show your support at fundraising.stjude.org/go-to/DonitaJ. That's D-O-N-I-T-A-J. There's a link in the show notes. I can't thank you enough for helping the kids of St. Jude. Get ready for an awe-inspiring episode as we dive into the incredible journey of our guest, a triathlete whose life took a remarkable turn through the power of sports. From his humble beginnings on a BMX bike to finding solace in cross country, his path was transformed by an unforgettable coach. Overcoming adversity, battling an unhealthy lifestyle, and rediscovering his passion, he conquered endurance sports and met his hero, Julie Moss. Join us as we unravel the story of triumph, redemption, and the enduring spirit of endurance. Don't miss this extraordinary episode of inspiration and transformation. Let's get started with episode 25 of the Official Triathlete Podcast. Hey, my friend. My name is Donita Jacobs. Some people know me as a nurse, a leader, and health expert. Other people know me as a coach, race official, and seasoned triathlete. But at the end of the day, I'm simply a friend with a mission. I want to help you transform your life. My goal isn't to help millions. My goal is to help you. Welcome to the Official Triathlete Podcast, where you will learn about all things multisport, broken down into bite-sized pieces, and how we can blend life demands with fitness goals. My approach is different because I am blending my 20-plus years of healthcare and athletic experience to help you be the healthiest, happiest, and most balanced athlete you can be. I believe in you, even if you don't. You really can reach those soaring goals, and I'm here to help you get there. I am so glad that you made it here. If you have a question or topic idea, get in touch and let me know. After all, this show is for you. Enjoy! Hello, my friends and fellow athletes. Thanks for tuning in. I'm so grateful that you are here. Wow, just wow. I cannot believe that we have made it to episode 25. I am so grateful for you, the listeners' support. You are my motivation to continue. I didn't really know what I was getting into when I started this podcast. It's quite a bit of work, but it's so worth it to know that I am serving you. I am here to support you, so please, if you have any topic ideas or questions, reach out and let me know. This show is for you. Now, can I ask a favor? The best way for this show to grow is by word of mouth. I would be forever grateful if you would share this podcast with one or two friends who you think would benefit. As the show grows, this allows me a better opportunity to serve you and bring you more great content that breaks the fun world of multisport down into bite-sized pieces. And hey, a rating and a review don't hurt. It helps me to know that I'm doing a good job. Anyway, let's get started. Now, I always start with a little message from my Train with Heart program because it's my mission to transform the whole athlete. And heart not only develops and prepares the body for improved athletic performance, but aims to optimize the whole person through healing, empowerment, awareness, reflection, and transformation. In each episode, I like to share a little snippet from how I help my athletes with one of these elements. Today, we are going to discuss transformation. Now, this is a packed episode, so I'm keeping this one pretty short. Let's do it. In the realm of individual sports, a profound and awe-inspiring transformation awaits those who dare to embark on the journey. It is a path that demands dedication, perseverance, and unwavering belief in oneself. Through the crucible of training and competition, one discovers not only physical prowess, but also the depths of their mental and emotional resilience. In the solitary pursuit of personal excellence, they unravel the constraints of doubt and limitations, emerging as a force to be reckoned with. The transformative power of individual sports lies not only in sculpting the body, but in shaping the very essence of one's character, fostering courage, tenacity, and an unyielding spirit. It is a testament to the remarkable capacity of the human spirit to soar beyond its perceived boundaries and unlock the boundless potential that resides within. Through individual sports, one finds the extraordinary metamorphosis from an ordinary individual to an extraordinary athlete, forever changed and forever empowered. Today, we have a genuinely remarkable guest joining us, someone whose journey is a testament to the power of perseverance and the life-changing impact of sports. Our guest has been on two wheels since he can remember, starting with BMX and eventually upgrading to a 10-speed bike during his high school years. While he was never competitive with others, he found himself talked into joining the cross-country team in 10th grade, and little did he know that this decision would alter the course of his life forever. His cross-country coach, Harry Smeltz, became an influential figure, instilling valuable life lessons that continue to shape our guest's thought process in training, racing, and life in general. Reflecting back, our guest wishes he had truly understood the profound impact of his coach's teachings and the opportunities he was given at the time. Tragically, Coach Smeltz passed away unexpectedly at a young age, leaving a profound effect on our guest. Despite not initially pursuing a competitive path, our guest found relative success in track and cross country, ranking 17th out of over 300 participants in the country in their senior year. He became the country champion in the 800-meter race and the 4x800 relay, showcasing his talent and determination, even achieving a 4:33 miler. During the mid-80s running boom, our guest witnessed a pivotal moment on television that sparked his interest, a triathlon, where Julie Moss crawled across the finish line at Ironman. It was then that he made a firm commitment to himself to one day complete that very race, captivated by the immense challenge and the strength of the human spirit. However, as life took its twists and turns, our guest athletic journey faced significant setbacks when he entered the Navy. His lifestyle veered off track as he succumbed to the temptations of smoking and excessive drinking. This destructive pattern continued until his early 30s, marked by a turbulent divorce and drinking that got out of hand. In his darkest moments, the teachings of Coach Smeltz resurfaced, offering a glimmer of hope and providing the foundation to regain control of his life. In a remarkable turn of events, our guest had a spiritual awakening that led them to embrace sobriety at the end of 1999. Over the following years, he quit smoking and returned to running, vividly recalling that first one-mile run at 200-plus pounds and one day without smoking, a pivotal reminder of his progress and the resilience he had discovered within himself. Driven by the desire to make amends to his coach and inspired by Julie Moss's unwavering determination, our guest embarked on a mission to give his all in racing, to honor his coach, and embrace the spirit of endurance. In 2010, he achieved a significant milestone by completing his first Ironman in Louisville. However, after taking a few years off and regaining the weight, he soon realized that his journey was far from over. Feeling a void in his life, he rediscovered his passion for running, biking, and swimming, and set out on a path to regain his physical fitness. With sheer determination, he participated in a triathlon, pushing through a challenging swim without any training. Although he contemplated quitting, he summoned his inner strength and finished the race, albeit far from the top. Undeterred, he returned the following year and triumphed, winning his age group and completing the race nearly 30 minutes faster. Fast forward to 2022, a truly remarkable year for our guest. He had an incredible opportunity to meet his inspiration, Julie Moss, and competed in the renowned Ironman Championship race in Kona. Along his journey, he also encountered other legends of the sport like Mark Allen, Paula Newby-Fraser, and Dave Scott. Not only did he qualify and race in the 70.3 World Championships three times, but he also transitioned into a coaching role, sharing his experiences and expertise with others. Triathlon ceased to be just a hobby. It had become his way of life, shaping his identity and inspiring others along the way. I am so excited to welcome Yancey to the show. I met Yancey and his wife, Lori, in 2016, maybe, when we were training together in Mississippi on challenging bike rides several times per week. We have been teammates for 8+ years, and I have watched as Yancey up-leveled his training and became the elite athlete he is today. I have always been inspired by his story and am proud to call him my friend. Yancey and Lori are both motivating and inspirational athletes that are indeed an asset to our community. At the time of this interview, Yancey has competed in about 60 multi-sport events. Among his accomplishments are 21 age group wins, 2 70.3 age group wins, 4 top 5s, and 2 overall wins. He's been to 3 70.3 world championships in Chattanooga, South Africa, and St. George. He accomplished his lifelong goal of qualifying for and racing at the Ironman World Championship race in Kona, Hawaii. His most memorable year was in 2022 when he not only went to Kona, but also raced and won his age group at the infamously difficult Escape from Alcatraz, where he met Julie Moss, and he coached Lori and another of his athletes across their first Ironman finish line. Incredible. So join us as we dive deeper into our guest's extraordinary journey of transformation, exploring the challenges he's overcome, the lessons he's learned, and the incredible triumphs that have defined his path. It is an honor to have him here today, ready to inspire us all with his indomitable spirit and unwavering determination. Please welcome our exceptional guest, a true embodiment of resilience and dedication in the world of triathlon. Yancey, thanks so much for taking time to be on the official Triathlete podcast.
You're welcome. Glad to be here. Yeah.
When I started this podcast, you were seriously at the top of my list of people that I wanted to interview because I know that you have a really inspiring story. I remember it very well from all my training times with you. We spent plenty of time out on the bike on a Tuesday night, sometimes Saturday mornings. And so I just wanted you to have the opportunity to share that with some of my listeners.
Okay, great.
So I wanted to start with getting to know a little bit about how you realized that you were so passionate about triathlon and multisport.
Well, we've got to go back quite a ways back into high school, around 1982. That's when I was watching the ABC Wild World of Sports, and I saw Julie Moss doing the Ironman World Championship.
Yeah.
If your viewers aren't familiar with her, it was her first one ever, and she was in the lead and got down to the last like 15 meters, and her body just quit, and she fell down, and she had to find the will to crawl across the finish line. And while she was crawling, she got passed by McCartney, I believe it was, who didn't even know she had won. But Julie Moss, still, the cameras stayed on her, and her determination got her to the finish line, and she put her hand out there and just crossed it and made it. At the time, I was in track and cross country, and that was just super inspiring to see that world. And it was then that I said, one day, I'm going to do a triathlon.
Yeah, so and you did do it. So tell us a little bit about your athletic history. So you did actually participate in sports in high school.
I did. I was fairly successful in high school. I started in 10th grade with the cross country. A guy, when I was in 9th grade, it was actually junior high, a guy had talked me into going out for the cross country team. And the camaraderie there and everything got me really interested in it and stuck with it. So I raced cross country and track for 3 years. I lettered both sports all three years and got into some county championships in the 4x800, the 800, and the in cross country. That's what got me into sports.
You have a pretty vivid athletic history, but things changed a little bit for you as you grew into adulthood.
I did. I did not go into college out of high school. I went into the Navy. And while in the Navy, I learned how to smoke. And that was because in boot camp, if you were a smoker, you were allowed to go outside and shine your shoes and do certain things. Whereas non-smokers had to stay inside and do their stuff. So I picked up smoking in the Navy. And that stuck with me till from about 18 till I was about 32 or 33 years old.
Wow.
I became quite a regular smoker. I also learned how to really drink in the Navy. The foreign ports, and that stuck with me until about that same age as well. So that kind of derailed me for quite a few years.
Sure. Yeah, that is a good excuse. I know, I'm a nurse and we do the same thing. The smokers get more of a break than the non-smokers. But so what made you change that? I mean, so you were smoking, you were drinking, you were not being very athletic at that point.
No,
what changed?
I was married and going through a divorce. And the drinking had a lot to do with that. And while I was separated, the drinking became worse. It became a problem. And through some circumstances and a little God intervention, I was able to stop drinking and stop smoking. I don't, this isn't the right podcast to go into all those details.
But I am
sober today.
Yeah.
So I went through a lot of stuff for a few years, finding myself again. And part of that journey was finding my athletic background again.
Yeah.
So the whole divorce and spiraling downward kind of woke me up. And the nice thing, well, I don't know, nice. The real thing is my cross country coach, Harry Smeltz, and I think I put this in my bio to you.
Mm-hmm.
His not just his cross country coaching, but his life coaching stuck with me. And kind of similar to the story of Julie Moss, you know, it was the whole never give up thing that, mm-hmm. that helped me find my center and back into the athletics.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can totally relate. You know, my divorce is what changed my life as well. And that's how I found the sport of triathlon. And, you know, sometimes you have to go through a rough time to find yourself and do something a little bit different and change your lifestyle. So what have been some of the biggest challenges that you've had to overcome to get back into shape and become the elite athlete that you now are?
That first mile running, yeah. It was absolutely horrible. And it was probably my biggest wake up, but it was also the biggest thing that I had to overcome. And it was actually a huge motivator for me. When I went out, when I decided I was going to start running again, that's what it started out with, was running. And I went out and did that mile. It was a completely flat road. And within a couple hundred yards, I knew just how bad it was because I was gasping for breath. I walked, went out half a mile and came back. In my mind, I think I had a bigger run planned, but it only made it a mile. But that mile took close to 14 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And put that in perspective for me, when I was in high school, I was a sub 5 miler. I think my best mile was a 4:33. So mm-hmm. I was close to 10 minutes slower mm-hmm. than where I was in high school. So that was a huge, huge wake up for me. Drove the determination that I was going to get back to something like that. But it was a long journey, you know, getting back into the habit of waking up and doing something, or just getting out and doing something, was probably the hardest thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I often say it's hard to know where you are when you know where you've been. It's kind right. of it makes it a little bit more difficult sometimes. So you actually, I very much remember when we first started training together, when I was riding down in South Haven, we were making our Tuesday night bike rides, sometimes our Saturday bike rides. I remember, you know, you were a really strong athlete, but there was a point that I remember you transitioning from kind of a regular athlete that was out there cycling and training to taking it to the next level. So what happened then?
I wanted to see where I could go. And when I was in high school, I needed a coach. He was impartial in looking at his athletes. He could, you know, tailor the plans and tailor the workouts for you. Whereas by yourself, it's harder to be objective. If you're just looking at yourself, it's harder to go easy when you're supposed to go easy when someone takes off. It's so just to go with them. And so I wanted to try coaching again to see if it would change things for me, if I could excel from where I was. And it definitely helped with my racing and just becoming more fit. So
do you feel that there's some value in hiring a coach for athletes to?
I do. I think it's the value is what your goals are. If you want to be competitive, obviously you want to find a coach that's more tailored towards the higher end athletes. If you're looking just to complete the super expensive coach who is looking to make you the best isn't really what you need. You need to find someone that would be more suited to getting you through your first triathlon. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the coach is definitely a good resource.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. And that's actually, you know, my mission here is to get athletes that don't think that they can to get into the sport, because I think you probably would agree with me that really, if you have the desire to do it, you can do a triathlon. We see all kinds of people out on the course that just do amazing things. You know, you don't have to be a super fit, super fast to do a triathlon. It's an amazing sport.
Yes.
So what has been the best thing that's happened to you since you've gotten involved in triathlon?
Man, there's so many. I think the most memorable one was this past year when I did Escape from Alcatraz. And I got on the podium. I won my age group, which was amazing in of itself. I was super happy about that. But as we showed up to the awards, I came to the realization that Julie Moss was presenting.
Oh, it was there.
It was there, yeah. So as I found that out and just asked Lori, man, I freaked out. It was just so cool that I was going to get up there and actually see her and hopefully I you know, be able to talk to her or, you know, thank her for being an inspiration for me. And so when I got up there, you know, I just kind of sidetracked myself over to where the podium was, where she was speaking, and I kind of tapped her on her shoulder, and she turned around, and I don't even know what I said, but something to the effect of, you know, thanks for being an inspiration and whatever. And she actually came at me and gave me a big hug, which was just absolutely amazing. I get teared up now thinking about that, because you know, so many years I hung on that, and then here she is. And to put,
and you didn't even know.
I didn't know, but I also knew that I was going to Kona later that year, mm-hmm. where she was, that race that she raced was there. So here I am, I'm meeting Julie Moss, and in a few months I'm going to be at Kona and taking the same steps that she took, because the course is relatively the same from 1982 to today. Mm-hmm. So it was a pretty emotional thing for me.
Yeah, you're giving me goosebumps, honestly. So that is another thing, is you actually qualified for the Ironman World Championships. That was a pretty amazing moment. So tell us about what that was like to do the race and then cross the finish line at the Ironman World Championships.
It was surreal. Because for so many years, I had thought about it. And then I had done my first full Ironman in Louisville in 2010. And I realized just how hard it was doing that race. And I started questioning, you know, would I be capable of doing it? Because then I found out, you know, what you actually had to do to get into Kona. And my time wasn't anywhere near the top in my age group back in 2010. So when I qualified in 21 in Florida, it was pretty amazing. But when I got off the airplane and I'm in Kona and I'm driving down the Queen K, and then Lori and I head up to the transition area, and I'm walking down Ali Drive, and I walk underneath the banyan tree, and then they have all these pictures lined up of all the former winners, and Julie Moss is there. And you know, I know somewhere along this street, I'm walking in those same steps that she took, and so many other, you know, notable people had run down. It was very surreal. And seeing the transition area, you know, I'd watched it so many times on TV, and how they run around the whole outside of it, you know, and the swim start and how they swim out and back. And I'm there, you know, I'm there actually. There, it was just amazing.
Yeah,
it was.
I can't imagine
all the time and effort and sacrifices to get there.
Yeah, how was that swim in the ocean? That's beautiful ocean, isn't it?
It is. It is very beautiful, and you know, it's pretty, I don't know. It's just, you think you're going to be looking at everything underneath you, mm-hmm. but then you got 500 other people in your age group starting, you know, because they changed it to where it starts. But so now you're, you know, for the first half of the race, you're swimming over top of people, getting swam over top of. You don't really have time to really see what's down there. But I do know it was very clear. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any sea life or anything, but it was still pretty amazing to be swimming in there.
Yeah, yeah. So was the lab as brutal as they say it is?
It's absolutely brutal. Once you turn on to the Queen K, mm-hmm. There's no shade, none whatsoever. And my age group, the 55 to 59, we started pretty late. I think our start time was at 9:30 in the morning. So we were hitting the Queen K at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which for Hawaii was about the peak of the heat.
Yeah, nice.
There was very little wind, a whole bunch of sun, and the Queen K is uphill both ways. I swear it is.
It's one of those.
The energy lab, it just keeps going on. You keep running out the energy lab. It's like, all right, the turnaround's got to be somewhere. It's got to be somewhere around here. So it just keeps going and going. So that whole Queen K and energy lab, I kind of treat it the same. It was it was very brutal.
No, well, nice. Good job. So what is it that you love most about multi-sport, would you say?
I love the people in multi-sport. Mm. It's different than most sports. There's a lot more camaraderie. There's a lot more sharing of knowledge. There's definitely a lot of competitive people, but the competitiveness isn't so much with each other. It's within yourself, which allows for people to be, you know, be friendly with each other and share knowledge and, you know, say, I've tried this, it's worked for me type stuff. Whereas a lot of other sports, you don't get that. You don't get, you know, people sharing their secrets and things like that on how they're successful. Whereas in triathlon, there is definitely a lot of that going on. So the people are friendlier. I know Lori makes about 10 to 15 new friends every race she does.
Yeah.
Out on the course, if she's talking. I'm a little more focused than that. I make friends before and after the races, not during. But you know, I've met a lot of great people, and I've kept up with a lot of them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely the camaraderie in the sport that really attracts me.
Right, and so you actually are on a multi-sport team, and so. Why are you on a multi-sport team? What value do you see in being part of a team when you could do this on your own, but instead you're on a team?
And a lot of the training I do on my own, but the team, it still allows you to be a part of something, which I think is pretty important. You know, being a part of something when you go to a race and you see someone from your team, you know, you've got that bond already just through your team. It makes it a lot easier when you go places and have teammates there. Even the events that we have, the rides, you know, the pool parties and things of that nature, the training camp that we have coming up, you know, all those things are, I think, really important for building relationships, sharing the knowledge, getting other people interested in the sport to keep the sport going. That's where the value of teams are.
Yeah, for sure. So there's a lot of people out there that are new to the sport. I think you were racing different than a lot of us on Thunder were this last weekend, but at Memphis in May, we had an enormous amount of new triathletes. So if you had one piece of advice to offer to a first timer, what would that be?
Keep it simple. That's the best advice I can give you. You don't need a whole closet full of stuff in your transition. Just keep it simple. You swim, you bike, you run. All you need is the stuff to swim, to bike, and to run. I see people set up their transitions and it's just, it's massive, right? Simple. You're there, have fun. And it's so much easier when things are simple.
For sure.
The athletes that I coach into it, that's the number one thing I tell them is keep things simple.
For sure. Yeah, I love that. So now what about somebody that is just triathlon curious? You met somebody that said, I don't know, I think I'm interested in doing a triathlon, but I just don't think I can. What would you say to them?
What's holding you back?
Yeah.
Just start a conversation like that. What are their fears? And try to work some logic into it for them. Because most people who are curious, and it's the fear thing that keeps them from doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've never done it. I may make a fool of myself, or someone will laugh at me, or I won't have the right bike, or I won't have the right shoes, or, you know, I'll make a silly mistake. So just talk to them and find out what their fear is, because that's probably what's keeping them from doing it. It's what kept me from doing my first one for a few years, was the fear of not knowing everything about the sport.
Yeah.
Right? So once I finally just did it, I realized that that was the race. Wasn't easy, but the doing of the race was easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the setup, transitions, it was actually pretty easy, and no one laughed. And like we were talking about earlier, people were super supportive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Find out what their fear is and help them through it.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I think that's one of the things I love most about triathlon is people love to help each other. They want to help each other. So, and it doesn't matter if you're the slowest athlete. That one thing I love the most is the finish line when the last finisher is coming in. I mean, it doesn't matter what race you're at. People love all the finishers from the first to the very last. They're proud of them all. And even the athletes, if you look at the athlete's face, the last finisher is just as proud of themselves as the first finisher. So it just doesn't matter. So wonderful. So how would you say that triathlon has reshaped your identity? Because I think you are a little bit different than you used to be, right? So how has triathlon contributed to that?
It's given me confidence. Is probably the biggest thing. I used to have a lot of self-doubt, and as I said, fear on doing things new, you know, seeing how people would perceive me. So it's given me a lot of confidence, and that came before I actually started winning. It was just the completing of the races.
Mm-hmm.
My first full Ironman, I was way back in the back. But that didn't matter. When I came up to the finish line, you know, it was I just did that, right? And that confidence I walked away with that was just amazing. You know, I realized, and I'm going to be cliche here and use Iron Man's slogan, anything, right?
It's a good slogan.
You do that, there's nothing you can't do, or at least attempt to do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So that's what's changed in me the most is that level of confidence that I'm not afraid to take things on anymore.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's great. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know the listeners appreciate you taking some time and talking through some of this. This has been a wonderful experience learning about your whole transformation and how multi-sport has contributed to that. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Yancey.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Wow. As we wrap up this captivating episode, we are left in awe of the incredible journey our guest has undertaken. From his early days on a bike to the life-changing impact of their cross-country coach, Yancey has faced adversity head-on and emerged stronger than ever. His story serves as a powerful reminder of the resilience of human spirit and the transformative power of pursuing our passions. Through moments of triumph and moments of struggle, our guest's dedication to their athletic pursuit and his unwavering commitment to personal growth has propelled him forward. From conquering an Ironman to meeting his hero, his journey is a testament to the extraordinary possibilities that await when we push beyond our limits. I hope this episode has inspired you to embrace challenges, pursue your dreams, and draw upon the lessons shared by our incredible guest. Let his story serve as a reminder that with determination, resilience, and a supportive community, we can overcome obstacles and achieve greatness in all aspects of our life. Now, next week is another great opportunity to get your questions answered. I have received some excellent questions from my listeners, and I've got some answers. You still have the opportunity to submit yours. Remember that no question is too simple or too basic. If you've got the questions, someone else does too. I guarantee it. You can contact me at trynursecoaching.com or email me at officialtriathletepodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Now, as we close this episode, remember to embrace the challenges, celebrate the victories, and never stop reaching for the extraordinary. Talk to you next time. Bye. That's all for now. Thanks for tuning in. I want to get to know you, so head over to trynursecoaching.com and sign up for a free 30-minute goal setting session. Love the show? I'd be forever grateful if you left a review and shared the podcast with your friends. And remember, do things that are hard,